Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of 1 Timothy chapter 6, we were talking about the media ministries that teach material gain is a reward from God for faith and spirituality. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
A very common heresy in this culture of media religion is the prosperity gospel. And it teaches that material gain is reward from God for faith and spirituality. And of course, faith and the so-called spirituality usually involves sending them a monetary gift. Now, you folks know that I've told you over and over again that we never want the tithe from you at the radio broadcast here. Yes, an offering we would accept, but not a tithe. Your tithe belongs to your local church. Matter of fact, if you're listening to us on a radio station that operates also on the offerings of God's people, and they're sticking to strict Bible programming and good godly music, and there's not all of this other junk going on, send that station a gift as well. You need to keep them in mind. Now again, I want to take you back to the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38, to just kind of drive this home. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They're stoned. They're sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Well, compared to today's prosperity gospel, these people weren't very spiritual to the way they try to measure godliness. They think gain is godliness. We think that the godly man, the right with man God, is one that has the most numbers in his church or has built the biggest ministry. Well, for some of you fundamental Baptists, then you've got to start looking at the Pope. He's got a pretty big ministry over there. You kind of got to look at the various Islamics in your state, because they have pretty big temples, and so do the Mormons. So, my friend, you better find out that you can't use numbers and the size of buildings and think that gain is godliness in the material realm. Gain, godliness, is never associated with the flesh. And so when you look at these, I just read to you from Hebrews 11, 35 through 38, by the teaching of some mega ministries, these people shouldn't even be in the Hall of Faith. Because they wouldn't have had to live that way if they were what they were supposed to be. Look at Noah. He preached 120 years, and we know only 8 people made it into the ark as a result of his preaching, and he was one of them. And it was really just his family. Now, you think about that. We say that he was a terrible preacher. What about in the place where Jesus went to preach and they, instead of all getting saved, went to stone him? Was Jesus a bad preacher? You see, again, I think the nicest way to say it is to wake up and smell the coffee. Let the Holy Spirit direct you, not religious culture. Now, it's not that we are attacking people right now. We're attacking sin. We're attacking that which goes against the Word of God. Gain is godliness goes against the Word of God. Is it not interesting that godliness is mentioned in only 15 verses in the Bible, and 9 of them are right here in 1 Timothy. So it must be very important for the local church that it be a godly church. In the Old Testament, we often find God's severe judgment for corrupted worship. Remember Nadab and Abihu? I honestly think that Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus, I think it's chapter 10, were offering strange fire, but I think it's because they'd been in Egypt, and they thought that incense was better than the incense they had, and they probably were doing, well, we think this is better, and well, I think this would be more honoring to God because we like the odor of it, and it's so much better. God struck them dead because that's not what they were supposed to do. We think of Uzzah. He touched the ark to steady it when it was on the cart and the people were following it, you know, and they had the calf there. And they thought, well, hey, this is a good thing. Put on a new cart and bring it in and really give the thing. Well, that's not the way God wanted his ark carried. And Uzzah was struck dead. We could go on, even in the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, struck dead. Now, people haven't been struck dead every time they've corrupted worship, because it goes on everywhere around you, and it has throughout the ages. Now, those were examples to show us how severe and how utterly vile corrupt worship is in the sight of God. And really, we go down to verse 6 before we look at our next point here in verse 5. And it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Wow. Contentment refers to a state of mind which is free of murmuring and complaining. Do you have a content mind about your possessions? About your station in life, about your ministry. It's kind of hard to say you're godly, huh? Godliness with contentment is great gain. A content mind is nothing if it's not godly first. But true godliness will then have a content mind. Godliness makes us independent of outward circumstances. We can be spiritually balanced whether we're in bad circumstances or favorable ones. It's not the circumstances that tell us if we're godly. It's not the material increase, the numerical increase that tells us if we're godly. In Psalms 27, verse 16, it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. In other words, you take the riches of all the wicked combined. The little that a righteous man has is much better than all of that combined. Why? Because the righteous man's has an eternal riches, whereas the man of the wicked, all his riches will burn up and be left behind. Godliness of itself is great gain. It is profitable in all things. And it is the opposite of this guy in verses 3 through 5. And that takes us to the last phrase here of verse 5. From such, withdraw thyself. Again, this is in the Greek. A present imperative, meaning it's a command of God for the local church and the individual Christian, a command of which we've given account, especially if we don't heed it. Now, from such, as we've seen here in verses 3 and 4, withdraw thyself. This is teaching separation. Separation from people that are wrong doctrinally, and separation from people who are wrong morally and in these areas of ethics. When you look at it, They don't go along with the wholesome words. They're full of pride. They have all these questions with strife of words, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings. Those are people that there's a direct command here. Separate yourself from them. That means you don't fellowship with them. You don't sit and listen to them. You get away from it. And if they want to ask you why, you let them know why. And you go, when you go back to verse 3, he says, if any man teach otherwise. And that's referring not only to the first two verses, but that's the things taught in this epistle from chapter 1, verse 1 to this point. And if they don't consent to wholesome words, and added specifically the teachings of Christ in his earthly ministry, we are to withdraw from them in the local church. Again, we are dealing with accepting God's authority. So, we need to apply that in all areas of life. Let me put it this way. Here's a deputy that makes $30,000 a year. Let's say that you make $30 million a year. Now, I don't know anybody that does that. I don't know them personally. I'm sure that there are businessmen out there that we could see their names. But I mean somebody making $30 million and a deputy makes $30,000. We're doing this for illustration's sake. But the deputy making $30,000 pulls over the guy that is making $30 million. Because he is going above the speed limit. And that guy making the $30 million says, look, boy, I pay your salary. Or, hey, boy, hey, Barney, where's Andy? Well, then you also, they get that, why aren't they stopping the real crooks? Well, no matter how full of pride that person is because he makes $30 million to that guy's $30,000. The guy at the $30,000 is still the authority. In my church, I can tell you that there are people, and quite a few people, that make more money than I do. Okay? But, nonetheless, within the church, I'm their authority. Now, God's the authority, but he's put me in the position to direct. And I have the oversight, and so they need to be under that. So, people need to accept authority in all areas of life. And a lot of times, people don't.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.